You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, all six areas of the healthful living model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living, and I'm here today with my co-host, Julie Matthews.
I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, also with Healthful Living. And as usual, we are going to be serving up a palatable taste of the truth here on all of the topics that are important to us about holistic health and well-being of our planet.
Well, we do our best to make it palatable, even though sometimes the truth can be a bit distasteful, can it?
Disturbing sometimes.
Disturbing.
Sure.
Because you always pick up the paper, you open up the news in the morning, and you read something, and you're a bit disturbed by that. Not always so palatable. But,
well, sometimes it's because the information is disturbing. Sometimes it's the way the journalism was written is disturbing.
Well, journalism's changed dramatically, hasn't it? We were talking about this morning. It doesn't seem really that there's any more. Well, I guess I would love for somebody to comment on this. And we will try to take some callers today during the show. We're going to be kind of going a little free flow.
We should give the number just so people have it handy for when we decide to do some call-ins. It is 415-346-5376.
Or toll-free, 866-405-0200.
All right. So with that, we were going to try to take a few callers if we could today, and you were just about to talk about one.
Well,
of
the point there was just I'd love to learn more about this from anybody else who has an opinion or any insight about it. Is there really any reporting anymore? It seems that most of what we read or receive in the mainstream media is information that is being given to us by people who specifically want to give it, be it a private entity in some regard or the government or. Punching and the news people seem to be just be giving us what they're being given to give us rather than where I think it used to be, or at least the intention is that there's these intermediary media news reporter journalists who are kind of like you and me, but they're out there gathering information about the nature of reality and what's going on in the world, and they're writing about it so you and I can have an informed understanding of what's actually going on. Doesn't seem like that's what's happening in our world anymore. It seems simply that we're just being shown images and ideas and thoughts and notions and information that's being very calculated and very much and very strongly manipulated to affect what we're seeing and what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of feeling a bit more discomforting to me every day that I notice it. It kind of forces me back to my own, inner questioning of, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? What's going on in my world? And what's,
Mm-hmm.
And bringing me back to the reality that I've got to kind of be paying attention to where information's coming from, who's given it to me, and to try to also do that, and here's the real challenge, is to try to do that without being afraid, because the information makes me feel kind of fearful and anxious and freaked out, that for me to then have to try to say, wait a minute, okay, my feet are on the ground, let me sort of come back to my own reality, my own choice about whether I look at this one way or another, or how I take information in.
Mm.
So that's kind of the undertone, long-winded context of Reality Sandwich. But today, Julie, let's go into I want to talk a little bit about what we got onto last week. Last week we had on the show Mark McAfee and Sally Fallon, as well as Chris Ostrander from the state of Washington. We were speaking about the raw milk issue.
Yes, and I wasn't able to be there, but it was an amazing show. Really some great, great experts and people that have been dealing with this for a long time. Yeah. I wish, of course, somebody from the state had chosen to be there so that we could not only hear their opinion, but also have them hear the opinion of others, because it's a little bit disturbing that they didn't want to participate.
But. Well, it seems like they've blown it on this issue. I mean, it seems like this whole thing may have been some sort of, mistake on their part. They didn't realize. Not everybody seems to understand what happened or how it happened.
Well, some people did, and then other people didn't. Clearly, some people chose to put this into action. Now, did they have sinister intentions? Well, I don't know.
Well, we're trying not to judge, but you have to look at the behavior and have to look at what happened in order to help make an understanding of the situation.
Yeah.
So my question is, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but have to check in with JJ to see if the governor is a regular listener to KPOO or not. But if the governor's listening, if anybody has any connections to Mr. Schwarzenegger, we just want to know if he knew that this was going on, if he knew that these words were snuck into the bill and that it would then thus cause a really significant inhibition of raw milk availability to all the muscle builders in California who drink it, you know?
Right, because we did hear quite a few when we went and did some searches on. I was shocked that bodybuilders would be so into their raw milk.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really surprising, actually.
It's great for them. They're easy to digest, great protein. They love it.
Well, I didn't realize.
Yeah. So there's videos out there on Google and YouTube, and you can look around, and there's people out there commenting about the issue. But we broke the story here on Reality Sandwich, and I don't really think anybody else is seriously talking about this other than one article in the Chronicle. But we'll find out more in the next few weeks what really went down. We know that Mark McAfee and others in the raw milk industry and health industry, meaning people representing you and me who really care about being healthy and having natural health and safe products for people, are helping to communicate to the state so that everybody can comprehend what's really going on and what's a safe standard and what's necessary, what's not. And it looks – I have faith that something positive is going to work it out. And I mean, I just don't see that they're going to stop having the milk.
Well, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right. Because there are a lot of people that really, honestly, depend on raw milk. They can't consume regular milk because they can't process it. It doesn't work for them. So if this is an opportunity to abolish raw milk so that the industry of pasteurized milk is bigger, they're not going to really gain any extra business out of it, because raw milk people are enthusiastic about their raw milk, and they're going to, one way or another, find a way to get it. And so
it does seem kind of silly, because it's not like all the people that that drink it, that like it, that benefit from it, are suddenly going to just, you know,
decide to drink pasteurized milk.
Yeah.
No.
Or not care anymore.
Right.
Just because somebody snuck in a law that makes it impossible for them to get it anymore.
Right. So what can we talk about today? Ooh, let's talk about, so on my blog I have these, what I call Julie's Gems, and I just thought of, it reminded me of something I want to talk about today, which I would put in the Julie's Gems category of my favorite artist is coming out with a new album in how many days? 5 days?
Next week.
Woo. Next, I guess Monday night at midnight, Alicia Keys is coming out with the new album, As I Am.
Julie is a huge Alicia Keys fan.
And I really, really am excited, because it's all about being who you are, being where you are, not apologizing for who you are, and being as I am. So I'm really, really excited. So anybody that does know her or even doesn't know her, you should really check it out.
Now, you've been a fan for like a long time now.
Since her first, probably within weeks of her first album coming out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I found it. Well, I guess I do. I was just drawn from, of course, just me. I was just drawn to it. Didn't know anything about it. I saw a photo of her and I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I looked up her album at, it was like Tower Records, because back then I don't even think iTunes was really around, or at least I wasn't into them. And I got to do a little preview playing of the album and I thought, I'll get it. And so from the very beginning, I have been a fan.
So what is it about Alicia that and her music or her style that really is attractive to you?
I like her because she is real. And because she creates what she feels. She doesn't regurgitate or develop things based on a formula of what's trendy. Mm-hmm. She is unique and creates really from the heart. Just reading an article today about her new song, which is No One. And she said that this song sort of wrote itself. And she said that, which doesn't always happen, but that she knew when she was writing it, she was excited when she was putting it together. And she said that pretty much any time she's excited about something, it resonates with her, and mm-hmm. it often resonates with everyone else too. So I just thought that was really interesting that she, you know, she doesn't try to create a popular pop song. She just creates and goes based on what her emotions tell her, and I just think that's really amazing. And I think she seems really real, and she wants to give the audience an experience of what energy she wants to put out there and sort of create her own thing and share it with other people and be open. And I just love her. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the ultimate inspiration, you know, and that's why we love talking to people and having guests on the show that are very embodied in that way. They're just creating. They're being themselves. There's nothing in the way of it. They're just completely allowing it to be. We can also look at it sometimes from this angle of like a zero regurgitation factor.
What does that mean?
There's really no part of her being that's regurgitating something. You know, spitting back something that we've learned that we're trying to replicate or be a certain kind of a way.
I think you need a new analogy going forward, but
I just thought of it in the moment because when you regurgitate something, it doesn't always feel good.
That is, well, anyway, let's not.
Right, let's say, how about
copying? She's not copying something from somebody else, but I don't know a good sexy word for that.
Replicating, copying, being a certain way, whatever it is.
Thank you.
But since she's so just herself, you know, we're naturally attracted to that because it's just a really beautiful thing to see and experience. You know, that's sort of like, you know, this very enlightened state that we often talking about, right? Being completely aligned with your source, with your energy, which whatever that God is for you.
Right.
You know, not having anything in the way. And there's many ways that we get to a point of not allowing things to be in the way. We sometimes break through it and sometimes we're, you know, whatever. But she's that. And she's just, it's just so amazing to experience her performance. Because she's so present in the moment, and there's nothing, I don't get anything from her. Like, she's trying to put one over on me or sell me something or be a certain kind of a way,
right,
which allows me to be completely open
right,
and go, wow, and really just take it in. And so, yeah, new Alicia album coming out next week.
And on her website, she has this whole section of little video clips with she and Crucial, and they have a couple really, really profound ones. One, the most recent one, is on growth, and he's talking all about how we, as we learn over time, we grow and we get better. So there's no pressure for this album to be good, that they know that if it resonates with them and that they know that from year to year, somebody grows and learns and evolves, that they know this album is going to be just as good or better than another, than the ones in the past. So I just love that. And not being afraid to make mistakes and not being afraid to try, because if you don't try, then you never get what you want. I mean, just all that great stuff that I'm just really find important to understand. They really articulate it, and you can tell based on their, I think, level of consciousness that they're definitely, you know, enlightened, evolved beings. I don't mean that in like Buddha enlightenment, but they're thoughtful, conscious people creating, and I think that's why it resonates with so many people.
Right. I would explain it as they don't judge.
Mm, yes, you know, they don't judge themselves. Just so amazing.
And they don't judge the experience they had.
Right.
And they accept what actually is a scientific, validatable reality, that whatever subsequent experience you have will technically be better. We just judge what better means. It can't not be, because you've integrated the previous experience into your current one, regardless of whether or not you succeed in your outcome, you know,
and
based on...
to realize that at 26 years old is, to me, amazing. Yeah. Really amazing. I can see people figuring that out when they're 35, 40, but to figure that out at 25 is, to me, just outstanding. So anyway, a little bit of positive information and wonderful things to talk about to balance all of the other things that we were talking about before that. So, you know, I think that we could talk about some of these other topics that we had coming up here after a short break.
Okay, let's go to... play a quick piece of music?
Yeah, because I just saw some phone calls coming in and we weren't able to take them. So let's take a break now. If those people that tried to call in are interested in calling back, you can call back at this music break at 346-5376.
And feel free to call in on any subjects that we've covered in the past on Reality Sandwich, anything that seems to be right in the bailiwick of speaking about our current reality. We'll be right back. Back in just a couple minutes.
Oh, different way. Wonder where you must have been. I need you as my closest friend. Have you in my arms again? Here she been calling me. Say she want the rest of my. How could this be? She want the power in my rest again. It's only love. It's love only. Let it flow slowly. Papa say about me, she really still care about me, say she can't do without me, girl your love has really got me, same way,
that I want you,
girl it's the same way,
yeah you want me too,
it's the same day,
that I saw you,
then I knew. At you. Don't matter what they say, don't matter what they do. Everybody knows
nothing can come between us.
Everybody knows
nothing can come between us.
Girl,
I know Jaja bless me. No wicked heart can test me, no matter what they try. Oh, I know drama will test me, and my friends are repressed me. The hunger make the river run dry. Yeah, yeah. As far as the window from the west to the east side, day and night praises never cease. I never see the judgment that the wicked man keep. I know them must get me feet so loud.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
So, Julie, I want to talk a bit more about some reality. We're speaking about reality and the world waking up to reality, accepting and understanding more about the nature of what's going on and what is really making sense. And a huge piece of your work is Nutrition for Autism. Your blog that you mentioned earlier is at nourishinghope.com.
Yes, yes.
Where folks can find your information about your work, your book, your presentations, mm-hmm. Your talks, cooking classes, other things that you do, interviews that you've had in the past with mm-hmm. experts in this emerging understanding of specifically the relationship between diet and nutrition and the health of many autistic children.
Correct. I mean, it does get a little bit broader than that, in that we do talk about other holistic health issues along with autism, and even other things like, you know, picky eaters. That brings in a whole area of behavioral stuff and different interventions that way and all sorts of things. So, but mostly it is around diet and the biochemistry of children with autism and how to use diet and supplementation to support the biochemistry that in their case is often quite different and sometimes, quote, a little broken or not optimally functioning. So the whole website is dedicated to that, and there are tons of free resources on there, from articles to just information about different diets and interviews, like Martin said, and of course my book is also available on there.
Now what's interesting is that for so many years, and really up until now, so many people didn't even know that this was an option.
Yes, and you know, we are all very grateful to Jenny McCarthy, who, while we have all been saying this for 5 or 10 years, nobody really listened. Nobody really listened. And when Jenny came around, she's so big and popular and so articulate that people are starting to discuss it. And so there were always a group of doctors and researchers out there doing this work, but, you know, it's not necessarily a sexy topic and they're not necessarily celebrities. So the information, there just wasn't the attention on it for these people to have their voice heard. So now there are people like Martha Herbert just did an interview with CBC, which is a station in Canada, in Ottawa, and they did a really interesting story on the gut-brain connection in autism. And in there, she talks about diet and how, firstly, the diet of these children is so limited that they have a significant amount of nutrient deficiencies. And, you know, if you have nutrient deficiencies, you can't handle your biochemical processes efficiently or well. And also talking about how with certain people, this connection with the gut and digestion and imbalance in the gut can create all sorts of challenges with the brain, from cognitive function, thinking, to mood things, and so all sorts of stuff. And so she did a really great interview, and I think if you Google gut brain connection and autism and then Herbert, you should be able to find that article. There's an article as well as a TV interview.
But historically, the mainstream medical establishment hasn't been seeing this gut-brain connection, or just hasn't been looking at it that way.
Well, I would say that even till today, the majority of the medical industry is still not looking at this. If you were to ask a good majority of people out there in that industry what they think about this, they wouldn't really be aware of it. However, there's a growing number of people that are aware of it, and there are a growing number of people questioning it and curious about it. So I think it's just a matter of time because it really makes a lot of sense. And if you are smart, which these doctors are, and if you are intelligent in this area, which these doctors are, then very easily it's easy to understand and see the connections. And I'm looking forward to the day where more and more doctors really start to get this, so they can each bring in their area of expertise and their area of knowledge to this base that's already developing with the doctors and the researchers that are currently there. So when it becomes a little bit more well known and more people are looking at it, I think that we could progress fairly quickly with some answers, as long as people are courageous enough to ask the questions and hear the answers.
Right, right. Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, that's what we're working towards, as are many, many others in the broader autism community, a number of different organizations, all sort of aligning behind this common understanding and affecting a shift in the mainstream perspective. I mean, and certainly, if it's to be representative of the mainstream, I mean, I spoke with Dean Adell on his radio show just a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes, and you got...
And I had just called him and asked him what he thought about this whole notion of special diets and focus of nutrition on for children with autism, and he poo-pooed the entire concept. There's not enough proper science, and he also just completely dismissed the anecdotal evidence of thousands and thousands of parents and information across that's on the internet as most likely just being personal bias and placebo effect of, whatever. And then I had to call him the next day because he didn't listen to me. He didn't let me talk and ask again another question specifically about the gut-brain connection. And he said there is none.
Really?
None. 100%
really?
No. None,
I
none,
didn't
none.
Hear that part of the conversation.
No. So he's fairly mainstream. And if he's representing that mainstream perspective.
There's a lot of people
so
that
I,
haven't
you know,
figured it out.
I don't get angry at it, but rather simply understand where is he getting his information? What is he being told? And most importantly, what has he not looked at? What has he not seen? What information has he chosen to not take in?
So for those people that are curious, you can go to my blog and read that article on Martha Herbert. And there's also another article that she'd written. We have callers calling in, so we'll see if we can get anybody on the line with us in a moment here. But, really very interesting in terms of...
Well, I think what's happening there, and you were just saying earlier, is that what's happening there is that the science is emerging in the mainstream that validates the gut-brain connection. And that's specifically what she was speaking about. So whereas probably on the same day that I heard from Dean Adell that there is no gut-brain connection, Martha Stewart, associate professor. Martha Herbert. Why did I say that? I knew that was going to happen. I apologize. Martha Herbert, who we met, wonderful woman. Harvard is saying this and showing us the science because it's there.
She's an associate professor in neurology, and she's a pediatric neurologist.
Right.
Which, no offense to Dr. Dean Adell, he is not, and she is, and she's saying this. So it's clear that, I see, this is the wonderful brilliance of Jenny. She very quickly said, if you think there's no gut-brain connection, go to a bar and have a beer. Within seconds, what is in your gut will have an effect on your brain. That's just one tiny, simplistic example.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it at that. And
so our hope is that this is a positive sign and that slowly the rest of the community will follow. They'll pay attention to the information. And then thousands and thousands of families that need help and guidance will be able to get it.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to cut some music real quick. We have a caller on the line. We're going to say hi to them, but we'll be right. We are back. We have a caller on the line who wanted to speak with us a little bit about the reliability of news sources.
Mm.
Are you there?
Yes. Hello, Martin.
Hey.
And Julie, I'm enjoying your show very much, and I just wanted to share a resource with you. Many people probably are questioning the veracity or the reliability of the information we get through the media these days, and it was reported about a year ago that the current administration has spent something like $2 billion over the last three or so years on public relations. So there's a massive propaganda effort in the country related to this ongoing illegal occupation. But the resource I wanted to share with you is in regard to the man who's considered the father of modern PR or public relations. His name is Edward L. Bernays, B-E-R-N-A-Y-S. And if you can go to the website PRmuseum.com. This is a website of the association or the industry. And they're very proud of Mr. Bernays, but in his last 15 years, he spent in Congress trying to pass a law that would regulate the public relations industry because he saw the tremendous potential for abuse. I mean, PR was partly developed under the Reichstag during the Fourth Reich in Germany, and then re-imported into the United States and used in commerce. So, you know, it has a wide range of uses, but when it's used to sell an illegal occupation of a foreign country to the extent that, you know, 80% of our troops think we're, there to respond to Saddam Hussein and what happened on 9/11, you know, there's a lot of misinformation in the mix.
Mm.
So, anyway, I wanted to share that resource with you and your listeners and wish you to also, keep an ear open for fair and accuracy in reporting. I think Counterspin is another. There are a lot of good reporters out there, independent media sources that can give you the truth if you reach out for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any ideas, Steve, on what are some of those good sources out there if someone wants some good media and any good websites people can go to for some independent media that you like?
Well, I like Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And Counterspin is another one that you can do a search on. Just enter it into your Google search. And, you've got, like I said, there many of them are California independent journalists based right here in the Northern California area. And Greg Palast is a British reporter who's done some great writing about how PR is used and how the whole propaganda machine is constantly pummeling us. You know, I think it was estimated as recently as 5 or 6 years ago that as much as 80% of the news articles that come out originated with a PR firm.
Hmm.
So it's cheap and easy news. It's very easy, especially for a newspaper like the Mercury News or the Chronicle, to just rely on these free media pieces because they don't have to pay anything for them.
You know, Steve, tell me more about that because we were talking this morning and said that exact same thing that it seems like, and we're not talking all journalists, but we're talking about in some of the mainstream papers and things, that it's just that it seems that this information is just fed to them, and now I'm understanding a little bit more right now. Can you describe maybe for listeners that aren't aware of this, what would the government or whoever be doing? How do they use these PR firms? How is this different than how journalism is supposed to be? You know, how do they get that spin out there?
Well, public relations could be applied to anything, for example, educating the public about mental health, mental research issues, so the public has a better understanding of a disability or a group of people. That would be like Blackwater, which is, I guess, moved into the billion-dollar ranges with no-bid contracts with this administration, and how they kill and murder in Iraq, and they're not held accountable to the same standards that an American soldier would be. And so they're trying to put a happy face on the privatization of our military, which is much less accountable to the American people. You know, a mercenary army can get out there and do whatever they want. So anyway, PR used by Eric Prince, the owner of Blackwater, who went on one talk show after another last weekend to talk about what a great job they're doing and how absolutely indispensable it is. You know, this is a guy with a lot of guts to get out there and try to put a spin on murder. So there's a real insidious use of PR. This guy is a right-winger and has, you know, religious leanings in the same way as the president, and he uses connections to profit handsomely, as many, many companies, including Halliburton and KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, have done building these mini bases in the Middle East. So,
wow.
PR should be regulated. In fact, I would like to see, this is a pet idea, of a legislation that would be aimed at truth in advertising, public information, and political campaigning. So that if it's proven that you resorted to lies and misinformation, as we constantly see in San Francisco with our initiative process, that you could go back to the people who promulgated the lies, for example, the lies that were told against the municipal utility district by PG&E in two previous campaigns, which helped scare the ratepayers into believing that a municipal utility district would not be as reliable as PG&E electricity. Mm. Well, if you could prove that the city has lost the equivalent of, let's say, $12 million a year since those initiatives were defeated, you should be able to take PG&E into court, and maybe their PR firm, Don Solomon Associates, here in San Francisco, and sue those liars and make them pay for the damage, the economic cost to the taxpayer, since the taxpayer was deceived in turning those initiatives down.
Mm. Very interesting.
Right now, my goodness. Repercussions for lying?
There you go.
Penalties for misleading the public?
Intentionally?
So maybe,
that would be a big step for our society to take, Steve.
Maybe I should dream that one for another planet.
But that's right.
That would be my hope of an independent candidate or maybe a Democrat someday would come up with something like that.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thanks for calling in, Steve.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
See, now, I love that idea. I mean, why don't we have a standard for massive information dumping, even through advertising, needing to be truthful?
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that, too, the other day. Like a particular alcohol product being able to say or insinuate something like their product will make you sexy or whatever these things, you know, such and such a product. We're the best, or...
Yeah, so I'm thinking, who said you're the best?
Yeah.
You're not the best for me.
Yeah.
Get that darn billboard off of the top of that building, obstructing my beautiful view of the mountain, until you validate with me somehow that you are, in fact, the best at something. Don't go making insinuations or ideas or putting thoughts in my head, you know, especially when it has nothing to do with the quality or the value that you're showing me or trying to sell me in your product or idea.
No, especially since we know that if you put all these products in a clear plain white bottle and put them side by side, they would be barely different at all, but they create this whole image around each one of them.
It's all conjured, consciously created, conjured stuff that gets put into our minds that we then desired and hang out as a carrot that we want for some reason because we were told we should have it.
They never say, oh, drink X kind of water. It has these additional benefits. No, they don't do that. They make it smart water. Yes, right.
You'll be smarter when you buy our product because you were manipulated by us and you came through. So therefore, we love you. Oh, they love me. I bought their product.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we say this to help you get the message and the realization that it is all propaganda. It is all just stuff being thrown at you, and the only way to navigate through it is to re-empower your own personal choice and understanding of what's actually going on, taking in the information, and allowing yourself to go with what is feeling right to you.
Mm.
I mean, what really just gets me is when I look at, I take snapshots of my screen often, particularly on the financial page, because you can see how glaringly the manipulation and the lies and the junk and the stuff is going on here. When you see a headline yesterday that says Wall Street stumbles in early trading, followed by the subheadlines here, oil rises to record above $98 a barrel. Ooh. GM loses $39 billion in the third quarter. Shares fall. Ooh. Time Warner profits fall 53%. Ooh. Productivity surges by 4.9% rate. What? How do you sneak in there amongst all this other junk? Oh, by the way, productivity went up 4.9%. It's an absolute bunch of manipulation of articles and stories to have us be so confounded and confused, specifically around economics, with a head story here on IRS mishaps. Everything's like, how can this screw up for you? How could this go wrong? How is that problematic? Constantly keeping us in all these stories just so thrust into fear, so thrust into inhibition. So I guess the message there is just be real and understanding the nature of the everything in the major stream media is propaganda. Mm. It's out to get you. Don't listen to it. Laugh at it and move on.
Well, yeah, it is interesting to watch some of these things, but with an eye for understanding how, you know, what is this product trying to say? What is this company really selling? And really just sort of try to look at it with a critical eye instead of getting sucked into the emotion of it. And it's pretty darn fascinating.
Yeah.
Since we gave up our TV, if I watch a TV ad, I am insulted how it seems like in the last 2 years they've created such idiots out of all of us. They somehow think that we're – well, maybe people do. I don't know. That they resonate with these – in my opinion, advertisements that act like we are complete imbeciles.
It is tremendously insulting when you really just step back and listen to what are they saying? What's being told to me here?
Or the cereal things they sell to young kids, 3-year-olds, these junky food products that they're allowed to do. I mean, It's amazing to me.
I personally believe that in 5 years, Halloween will not be the same. Every year now, Halloween has been growing in its popularity and more people buying costumes and going out and more candy being sold every year. And that's obviously been massively manipulated because people have been jamming it in our throats, quite literally with the candy. But we're also at the same time learning, I think, so much more about the junk and the artificial foods and the impact that that's having on the health of our children, aren't we, Joy? We're learning.
Yes.
I know. You feel angry because people are still eating the junk.
Well, I don't necessarily feel angry. I just feel more pessimistic than you do. That, you know, you have to remember that we hang out with people that come to us because they want to be healthy. People that kind of get this stuff a little bit. You know, we don't hang out with those relatives that we know that we have that spend a ton of time eating junk, eating total, complete junk with no idea of what's going on out there. So it's hard for me to say, like, yeah, I mean, maybe it's gone from 2% awareness to 5% awareness of people
out
there.
That's 150%.
All right.
That's a lot, 2 to 5.
Okay.
Somebody help me with the math here.
All right.
And I see that. So therefore, I realize that once you have that kind of a movement, that it is inevitable that the information will continue to flow in some direction. And but I think the really sucky thing is that not everybody is fully at choice and has those options. You know,
right, because
not everyone
everybody's
has
informed.
The information or the availability or the economic viability.
But you know what? If someone did have a computer, then you can Google search anything. I mean, if you go to my website, you can find out all this information for free. So it's not – yes, it requires certain access and certain awareness to even Google search it. That's the thing. But it's more and more available to the average mainstream person. So I think that's definitely positive. So I guess we'll leave it with that for right now in terms of we are where we are and it is getting better. And I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that it all works out.
Well, that's where our faith comes in. If you want to call in and speak with us in the next 15 minutes at 866-405-0200 with any questions or thoughts you had about reality.
You are listening to Julie and Martin Matthews of Healthful Living. You can find out more information about us and our services at healthfulliving.org. And you are listening to KPOO San Francisco.
Me have a new tune, more of a creator it. We show them Rastafari with music, call it fit. I'm fresh of Babylon, it's a mind of fitness. We preserve your temple for mercy. Rastafari is my only witness, boy. Yaga, and a stone them a fling. Vibes, man, a vibes up a thing. We bust a new chat and a rubber duck with him. The music so nice, me have to go and set the pace. A righteousness with the music a pace. Go and isolate and not bust up the place. You can't see him, them slap missing at them face. In a new dance of me, see selector, them a trace. I bring the music to this grace. Vibes, not a vibe. Me have a new tune, no Afro creator it. We show them Rastafari musical it. I'm fresh of Babylon, it's a mighty fitness. I preserve your temple for my sickness. Rastafari is my only witness. Why?
We are back. So, Julie, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left to go, and I just want to loop it back to your website, to nourishinghope.com, and your work with autism. It really is the primary area that Healthful Living is bringing forward right now to help impact the health of our children out there in the community. So you're going to Toronto.
Yes.
Now, the Canadians, you were speaking earlier, that Canadian broadcasting company was did that really insightful interview with Dr. Martha Herbert. It does seem that the Canadians are a bit more up to speed with what's going on with broader biomedical approaches to autism.
Didn't you say that you just spoke with someone yesterday? That
I did.
Yes, it was actually someone in a big autism organization was kind of commenting.
It was someone with TACA. Talk About Curing Autism Now. They're huge advocates, really out there supporting families, and they were also sharing with me that there's a lot of activity going on in Canada.
And by the way, that's TACANOW.com, TACA Now.
Yes.
TACA.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Yes. And they were talking about all this activity going on in Canada?
Yeah. And indeed, we've had several, many copies of your books shipped up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Many inquiries coming from Canada. Seems that parents are organizing there, most particularly our friends now, Kelly and Michael Pallett in Toronto.
That's right.
They've organized their own speaker series over the past 6 months, and they're aggregating the local community and bringing speakers in to help educate the local groups.
Well, you know what? This is actually a nice story to end with, because we've been mixed between positive and sort of depressing stories throughout the day. And I have to say that this is an example of individual people making a difference. This is a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife who have a child on the spectrum, mm-hmm. who had to figure all this stuff out themselves, didn't have the services and things that they needed, figured all this out on their own, and then in the middle of all of that, decided to give back to the other parents by creating an entity that would, called Parents Listen, that would put on these conferences. They do it all by donation only, mm-hmm. so everybody can come. And they are just an example of two people that are now educating hundreds and hundreds of parents about these topics that they've learned something about, that they've benefited from, and they're now sharing it with others. So, you know, one person can make a difference. And those Canadians, I have to say, they're sharp. They're very, you know, I had two moms from Canada offer to edit my book as a service to us, as a, just to give back to other parents. And two of them, and many, many very savvy parents up there. So it's very nice to see that not only is this catching on in our country, but it's also catching on in other countries. And then that's really positive as well.
Yeah, I think it's tremendously positive when people work together with other people in a common purpose, common objective. So much more can be accomplished, and it really is about allowing ourselves to follow our personal passions and belief that we can create it.
Yeah.
And this is an incredible example of that. So that's going on in a few weeks.
Yeah, maybe we should tell people a little bit about it, because I just had someone the other day that's from Toronto actually want to forward this information on to a friend. And so who knows, there might be some listeners there that are from Canada or have friends or relatives in Toronto or something that might be interested. So it is December 1st, Saturday. And it is it's a good majority of the day. I think it's maybe 10 to 3 or something like that. And it's going to be all about diet and nutrition for autism. And I'm going to be doing pretty much the whole day. And we're going to be just really hands-on how to do this, what to do, why to do it, how to choose what to do with nutrition, all those really great topics so that people can actually begin to implement this in their own lives. So it should be a really good time and also a great way to meet other parents.
Yep.
So, you know, there's always things to know in a new area, such as where to get good quality foods and where to find good quality practitioners. And so if you can connect with other parents as well, that's also a really nice way to go. And we currently have a couple hundred people signed up for this already. So it's pretty exciting, and we're looking forward to doing it.
Likewise, I think it's going to be a great time. And just to your point, Julie, I think it's an incredible opportunity for people to meet others, you know, that are learning the same information, that are applying the same information, also connect with local resources and find out where they can buy certain things. And just a great overall opportunity and event to go up there and to learn a lot in a short period of time. And people can get the link, actually, to that event at palatecorner.net, which you can actually be easier to go to Julie's website, healthfulliving.org. healthfulliving.org. On the front page, there's a link directly to the information about the event and upcoming event with Julie in Toronto.
Great. So we are Healthful Living here on Reality Sandwich Radio. You can find this show and all of our past shows available for free download on our website. You can go to realitysandwichradio.com. You can also go to Healthful Living, and that's healthfulliving.org. And we are on every Thursday at noon. And to find more about us, probably, yeah, I would say go to that Healthful Living website and you're all set. And we will be back next Thursday with a great guest. And thanks for listening.